The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Eleanor Galvin, our resident GP, is with us. 53106, if you have anything that has changed colour, shape, size, appeared where it didn't used to be, fallen off when it used to be attached, anything along those lines, you can fling in your questions to Eleanor. How are you, Eleanor?
Very good, Anton.
We have the hardy perennial. Children have returned to school, which means the lice that have lain dormant all year have found new heads to move into and create rudimentary civilization.
And I'm still always amazed they survived the whole way through COVID when everyone was off school for so long. If you have kids who go to school, they will get dits. It's just one of those things.
This is a thing that isn't your area of expertise, because I think it's more to do with anthropology than it is medicine. But what happened in ye olden times? Did everybody just have nits and get on with it?
Do you know what? If you actually leave somebody with nits, they get so infested that their glands swell and their scalp is so sore. They actually inbreed so much in your head that they do die out. But it's not a way that we would advise treating. But that is actually, there is a whole, they will go on and on and on, and then they'll be so inbred on your head that they die off.
But the entire they run a course of civilization.
It's like their whole world is on your head. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's horrible. We wouldn't be saying that for the sake of a bit of conditioner and a knit comb.
Well, this is the question. Mm. Do you poison them with chemicals or do you go at them with a tiny comb?
Yeah. Having four children with big heads of hair, I would be inclined to go at them with a tiny comb and conditioner. Now, you can do the poison and all the rest of it. But I think that you're going to be doing it so often that it's probably as well off that you, every 2-3 days, if you see a nit, and you know, your children will get infested. It's just one of those things. Then you sit them all down and you comb all their hair, and then you do that every so many days. And then you pick one day. In our house, we used to have Knit Check Tuesday. And on a Tuesday, I used to check everyone for nits. Now they're bigger now. They'll shoot me. But that's what you do.
And you have to check yourself and each other.
Oh my God. And I've had nits. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, no, not now. But I did have nits. When they would have nits, you'd all have nits. Your head touch your child's head, you have nits.
Now, people can't see you, so allow me to do some description. You have very long, very thick hair. That must have been a nightmare.
My kids have very big heads of hair. Yeah, but that was just our Tuesday night. We would check for nits. An awful lot of big bottles of cheap conditioner. You can get a comb called a Nitty Gritty comb, which is better than the kind of normal comb. And it's got little grooves that take the eggs out as well. And then you just sit and do that till no more come out. And then you do it again the next week. And then you hope you've got some. And also wash your pillowcases. Scrunchies or things like that that you put in girls' hair, all into the washing machine at 60 degrees, so as to kill the nits. And then people are using hair straighteners as well now, which is good. So that
to cook them.
Yeah, so that if you did miss something, if you straighten your children's hair, boys and all, that then you will maybe cook them. Yeah, fry them. so that is nits. It's a very, very tedious thing, but you have to put the work in and keep them away, because kids do get very sore heads. They do get swollen glands in their neck. It is very unpleasant.
And the anything itchy is horrendous.
Horrific.
Text saying, I've been suffering a lot with recurring sinus infections. I've taken antibiotics and nasal sprays, but have little relief. What can I do?
Yeah, people do nasal rinses of all sorts, but also maybe to see if it is a really true recurrent sinusitis. It might be time after you've done the antibiotics, done the nasal sprays, to have an X-ray of your sinuses to make sure that there's not a polyp up there, or that you don't have a deviated septum or something that's giving you a recurrent sinusitis, which is essentially a pain in the face. You know, it's not a nice thing to have. But sometimes if you keep having it, there's something behind it, and then it's to go looking for what is behind it.
Interesting one here. A question for Eleanor. Any advice for cramps in your hands? There is nothing more annoying, because you have to prise your fingers back open to be able to use the hand.
In your feet, the same sort of thing. And there's a lot of talk about magnesium for cramps and all that sort of thing. I'm not sure whether I'm there for it. Tonic water is quinine, and quinine was the thing that was traditionally given to people in India for cramps. And I do think quinine, you can get in a tablet, or you can just drink a glass of tonic water. I think that's about the best thing for cramps. And the cramps have probably come from overuse.
Can I tell you my quinine factoid that you might like?
Yes. I think I heard this one before.
Did I give you this one before? I love it nonetheless.
Yeah.
In India, they gave quinine as a prophylactic for malaria, and to make it more palatable, they added gin.
Yes.
Which means it's the only alcoholic drink where the alcohol is the adder, not the makeup.
I learned that from you before.
Did you?
I did. Yeah,
well, I need
you
new facts.
Teach me every week. Yeah.
Text saying, I've had no success with weight loss. I am a 40-year-old male and considering stomach surgery, but I'm very worried. Any advice? My BMI is 39. which is technically too low for surgery. I would thought a BMI of 39 isn't completely outside the reservation.
No, and I think if you have a BMI of 39, it's really good that he's thinking about addressing it. And I'm sure he's thought about addressing it long before. Nobody needed to tell him that he had a BMI of 39. And I'm sure he's probably tried all sorts of things. And to go to a specific weight loss clinic that deals with people who have a BMI that high, start off with your GP. You may be able to try some of the new drugs that are out there for weight loss. You also may qualify because you may well have kind of the implications of having a BMI of 39, which might be, you might be like kind of borderline diabetic. You might have sleep apnea. You might have those things. And therefore, you don't have to tip to the 40 for them. But I would think at 39, weight loss surgery might be scary, but it might be scary not to have it either. It might be a permanent solution to his problem.
Am I alone in being fierce suspicious now of people who lose weight because of those new drugs? Because statistically, the people who can lose weight and keep it off, it's a tiny coterie who succeed.
Isn't that heartbreaking?
Now?
Yeah, and I would say there's a shortage of ways in which they can succeed. There's a huge amount of that drug being... And what's wrong with that, though? Do you know, I think that's such a positive thing. And I think it takes up so much headspace in some people. And also some people aren't that large and they think they're enormous and they're just not happy in their skin. And to take that away from them.
There's sort of a societal mutual self-interest in this. It's much cheaper to have everybody be thinner and not be incurring all the healthcare costs that go with it.
Yeah, and the self-esteem issues, do you know?
Text saying, I'm a 56-year-old woman. I've had no periods for 14 months. Have a few spots yesterday and today. Is this serious?
Now, it could be. I suppose the thing is, she was late having periods till 54. Kind of average age of stopping is 51. So then that would be considered a postmenopausal bleed. She's 56. She's having a bleed. She should go to her doctor, make sure she's up to date with her smear test. And she may need to go to a gynae to have somebody look into her womb. Could be a fibroid. They're kind of benign growths. Could be a whole load of different things. And of course, there could be something sinister, but she needs to have a go. 99 times out of 100, it's not something sinister. I don't know if she's on HRT or something and forgot a patch or put on an extra one. And maybe that's what's prompted it. But absolutely, she needs to go have it looked at.
A text asking, when nits are mentioned, do you start scratching? I'm still at it.
I know. Even this morning, reading it, flashbacks.
Any tips for a sty in the eye for my 11-year-old? They are the most annoying thing.
So styes in the eyes is like a warm face cloth, and then you hold it up against it. That's all you can do. And eventually they'll come right. And if they keep recurring, you might have inflammation of your eyelids and you can get these wipes in the chemist that you use to stop them recurring.
And what are they? Is it a follicle infection or something?
Sometimes it is. And sometimes it's just a blocked little oil duct. And that's what gets blocked. And that's what causes a stye. And so the warmth of the face cloth will hopefully bring it out.
Text asking, my elderly mum usually gets flu vaccine and COVID vaccine this time of year. Is it okay to give the two shots at once?
Absolutely. So now next week will be kickoff of flu and COVID vaccine season all around the country. And nobody
funny though,
wants
some
to
people
get
the really,
flu.
The flu vaccine takes it out of them for the sort of the day after.
Yeah, but not as much as the flu would.
You can sing it.
So especially in accident emergency, and elderly people do die of the flu every year. It can be a very serious illness. People are hospitalised with it. So yeah, just get it, I would think. It's not a live vaccine. So you're not going to get the flu from it. But you're going to get maybe a small immune response. Definitely worth it.
And it's okay to get the two together.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
A text asking, my asthma has flared up over the last few weeks. I was wondering if your expert could tell me if this is normal for that to happen this time of year and will it pass?
Yeah, so asthma can flare up as the weather gets more cold, and the cold air can trigger a bit of asthma. Also, you might be indoors more with more dust. So quite often this is the time of the year where we say where kids maybe who have recurrent problems with asthma over the winter or get a lot of chest infections that provoke asthma, they start on their preventative inhaler. It's kind of October through March. Quite often they'd be taking, and they're back at school as well. Or adults, they would take a brown inhaler over the winter.
And the preventative, that's not Ventolin.
That's the blue one is Ventolin and the brown one is generally Bactrite, although they come in other colours now. But a preventative inhaler over the winter can quite often stop having a bad winter or, you know, 3-4 chest infections.
A text to say, an hour combing every night for 7 nights always worked for our infestation.
Yeah. Oh, dedication.
That's a lot of combing.
Mm.
How many heads is that?
Like, you can sit in front of the telly. Yeah.
Good Lord. And can you ask the doctor if there's anything for Raynaud's in my hands? I've tried every type of gloves and nothing works. Raynaud's is a circulatory thing, isn't it?
Yeah, Raynaud's, and you can get very blue, very painful hands that go white in the cold, and people put their gloves in the radiator and things. It's cold weather disorder of circulation. Yes, there is stuff for it. You can take calcium channel blockers, which is medication you can get that is really good for Raynaud's kind of. That's about all. People take Viagra for Raynaud's, men and women. More women, really, I suppose. But
what are the side effects? Never
but yeah, Viagra was meant for Raynaud's, found to have another use, but it just improves the blood supply to your peripheries.
What about heated gloves?
Heated gloves, absolutely.
Heated gloves are the way that
you... But sometimes... And that just isn't enough for somebody with Raynaud's, and they need tablets.
As ever, Eleanor, yeah. Thank you so much. Dr. Eleanor Galvin, our resident GP.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.